So, good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the FBN Holdings 9 months 2023 financial results conference call. Thank you for joining us today and for your continued interest in FBN Holdings. I am Tolu Oluwole. We will commence today's session with an overview by the Group Managing Director of FBN Holdings, and then we take questions afterwards. Please use the raise hand function and for identification, and you'll be called upon. We'll take the questions in batches of two or three before responding. And please ensure that you have your microphones on mute at all times. You can also have questions in the Q&A session section where that will be taken intermittently. I would like to turn the call over now to the Group Managing Director of FBN Holdings, Mr. Nnamdi Okonkwo. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, Tolu. So good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to our call today. Let me quickly introduce my colleagues on the call. We have Dr. Shola Adedunto, the CEO of First Bank; Kayode Akinkugbe, the CEO of FBN First Merchant Bank. We have Patrick Iyamabo, Executive Director and CFO, First Bank; Segun Alebiosun, Executive Director and CRO, First Bank; Eni Ebong, Executive Director, Treasury and International Banking; then Tolu Oluwole, Head of IR. Finally, I am Nnamdi Okonkwo. I lead the team here at the HoldCo. So I'll just go straight into the opening by referring you to slide number four. Well, slide number four speaks to the highlights of our 9 months performance for period ended September 2023. And so it speaks to the resilience of our franchise, effective management of the dynamic rate environment, and focused execution of our strategies. Now, let me be more specific. In the period under review, gross earnings went up 80% on the back of interest income, and which resulted from the high yield environment. Our larger asset base and growth across business segments in our diversified business portfolio. We also attribute our performance to the efficiency in the institutions. We've had deliberate monitoring and control of our operating costs. So quarter on quarter, despite the environment, OPEX was flat. Cost income ratio was 50% when compared with 65% for prior year, despite the challenging business environment. On asset quality, we recorded significant improvement in risk management, and our NPL ratio of 4.6% attests to that. This is below the regulatory limit of 5%. And we plan to sustain creation of high quality loans and make our balance sheet a fortress. We plan to raise, as you know, T1 capital. This will have the combined benefit of boosting overall performance of the group, and it will also enhance our ability to pursue strategic initiatives and investments. Also, it will prepare us for Q3 implementation. So we then go to slide number five. Okay, just to repeat that we achieved strong performance amidst challenging economic environment. And this was on the back of net interest income, which grew by 51%. On non-interest income, some of the growth, you might say, is attributable to currency devaluation. But we also had healthy growth in fees and commission, supported by 22% year-on-year growth in e-banking revs. On impairment charges, up year-on-year, but what are we doing? You see that impairment charges have grown year-on-year, but clearly we're taking more proactive view of ensuring comfortable coverage ratios. Notwithstanding this, we have effective risk management architecture in place to manage risk. I then go to costs, OPEX. We recorded 33% growth when compared to prior year. So as mentioned earlier, it's important to put OPEX in proper context of significant currency movements and higher or high inflationary environment. We remain focused on curtailing costs so that we remain efficient. On operating income, it increased significantly to 73.3%, or increased by 73.3% to 705 billion over the last the review period. And this reflects the strength of our earnings, translated to PBT of 270 billion, a 156% increase when compared with our 2022 PBT. Okay, I then go to the balance sheet. It further improved with total assets year to date growth at 38%. Customer deposits also increased significantly by 29% year to date. So I take you to slide 6. Okay, so this slide is speaking to our sustainable shareholder value creation and strengthening business resilience. So, and it's for you to see our performance through key metrics that emphasize our dedication to creating outstanding shareholder value. So, in terms of numbers, return on average equity increased to 27% versus 14% in 2022. This was backed by improved profitability. NIM was up to 6.2%. Against 5.4% for the previous year. And that reflects our efforts at generating and optimizing income. Return on average assets increased to 2.5% against 1.3% in prior year, as we continue to use our asset base more efficiently. On cost of funds, it increased to 3.4% from 2.1%. Obviously, this reflects the higher rate environment that we're all familiar with. Cost of risks is up 2% from 1.5%. And like I mentioned earlier, this is as we continue to ensure comfortable coverage ratio. Cost income ratio improved to 50%. Despite the high inflationary environment, NPL is now 4.6% versus regulatory NPL of 5%. Again, coverage ratio, which I mentioned earlier, said grew by 85%. So these are all efforts to fortify our balance sheet. If you go to slide seven, it's just depicting our efforts in delivering on our strategic priorities. First, we proposed to enhance revenues and profitability. So we have implemented efficient methods this year, focused on digital financial services capabilities. We've broadened non-funded revenue base And we're doing this through technology and innovation. In terms of strengthening our value proposition, we've made significant progress in our strategy execution with results to show. Harnessing the strengths of our unique business group to drive synergy and collaboration. What do I mean? We have quite a number of portfolios. So synergy and collaboration is a major strategic imperative for us and for which we have deliberate strategies so that the companies can interoperate and take advantage of efficiencies. Thirdly, and finally, optimizing operational efficiencies. We're actively fostering business collaboration and synergies across the entities. And that's why our insurance companies, our merchant bank, the commercial bank, etc., have synergy revenue targets. And this has been yielding good results, which shows that the strength of our diverse portfolio. Okay, so on slide 8, this speaks to our unique investment case. Like I mentioned a moment ago, we have strong franchise and brand recognition, diverse portfolio, solid digital capabilities. To translate that statement to numbers, we have the ability to process, we currently process 482 million internet and mobile banks transactions. And we're able to sustain 19% market share of internet and mobile banking transactions measured by the key platform for the banking industry. So, in conclusion, I also emphasize on our strong governance and risk management practices. You all will see that in the last, consistently over the years, our risk measuring parameters have improved significantly and continue to improve. That was resulting in the kind of numbers that we're discussing today. So I'll stop at this point by extending our collective appreciation to all our valued stakeholders who have been with us on this journey together over the years. It has taken dedication, collaboration, commitment, and excellence to achieve the results that we are seeing today. And our special thanks go to all stakeholders, the customers, etc. On that note, I'll then hand over to Tolu, who would moderate the Q&A session. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you, GMD. Okay, so to take questions now, please use the raise hand function to take for your questions. And please, you'll be called upon once your hand has been raised. So we can now start the questions.
I think I can see one hand.
I haven't seen any hands. There are no hands raised at this point. Just as a reminder, if you have any questions, please you can indicate by raising your hand. We have a question from Ayodeji Dawodu. Ayodeji, please go ahead.
Thank you very much, Tolu, and thank you very much to the management team for the call. I have a broad question and two FBN-specific questions. I just wanted to get a sense, has there been any changes in the functionality of the official FX window? Has there been any efforts by the administration to start clearing the backlog? And just on FBN, could you just provide us a guidance on the outlook for asset quality? Could we assume that we've seen the bottoming out of the moderation in NPL ratio? And are there any plans to improve coverage going forward as well? And my last question is on capital adequacy. Could you provide us a rough estimate of what capital adequacy ratio could look like with year-to-date earnings capitalized, and what you expect the ratio to look like at the end of the year? And maybe in relation to this, what the ratio could look like if we see the official FX rate at about 1,000 naira per dollar, please. Thank you very much.
Tolu, yeah, I can't see another hand. Maybe while we're waiting, we can just take this, even though we'd like to take them as a batch.
So I think we can proceed with this question.
Sorry?
We can proceed with the question and we are responding to the question from Ayodeji.
Okay, so Ayodeji, thank you for the question. Ini would take the question on FX and CRO, Shegun would take the one on risk while Patrick would speak to capital adequacy ratio. Thank you.
Okay, responding to the question on FX as it relates to settling of the backlog, I think all that one needs to say is that there are still ongoing engagements with the central bank. As you know, the leadership of the central bank changed recently, and I guess the new committee of governors is still settling down. But a recent fresh rounds of engagements have started with various offices in the central bank that are charged with dealing with these kind of things. But I think more importantly, very recently, both the Minister of Finance and Central Bank Governor clearly stated that their priority is dealing with some of these outstanding backlogs. That said, the central bank still continues to intervene in the markets weekly, selling dollars directly to banks in a targeted intervention. So that is providing some liquidity to the market whilst we wait for additional engagement around how they intend to deal with the backlog. The only other thing to flag is that, you know, this is not new. There have been delays in settlements now for over a year, and the central bank has always come through in terms of meeting those obligations. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Shegun.
Thank you. On the risk outlook, I would say that the risk environment is already not fully bottom out, but is close to it, in the sense that the real risk environment or the risk issues are being tamed. I've seen what has happened in the last 72 hours on FX rates, and what government is likely to do between now and Christmas, likely to do, that will material impact on the economy. And so the FX risk will be likely moderated. And so therefore, we don't expect asset quality issues to worsen beyond what we are seeing in the environment. We first believe that we will still remain within our single digit, no matter what about this economy. On coverage, we are at about 85 or 6, and we believe that based on based on the operating environment and the elevated risk environment, we will continue to increase buffer, and so we will increase coverage in Q4 beyond the 85 that we have today. Thank you.
Thank you, Segun. So, Patrick, capital adequacy ratio.
Patrick, you're muted.
Thank you. So, in terms of our capital position, if you were to capitalize the profits as that for the first 9 months, that would send CAR much higher, certainly Basel III readiness. And if you layer on top of that the capital raise we are pursuing, then you're looking at a financial institution that is fully Basel III readiness, plus with the level of capital buffer required to pursue and execute our strategic growth plans for next year, especially or even into the next 10, let's say the next 12 months. If we're to put numbers behind that, we're looking at a CAR that is north of 19%, closer to 20% if you combine both efforts. Now, to the question around what will an exchange rate of 1,000 mean for the bank, and I believe you're speaking to First Bank specifically. An exchange rate of 1,000 means a slightly improved CAR. Again, because as exchange rate grows our risk-weighted assets, it also accretes the profits similar to what coming out of the longer position alongside, and the capital accreted compensates for the RWA increase within the business. So to the second part of the question, just to keep it very simple, kind of what you saw play out as a half year in terms of RWA growth and profit jump, and the profit jump compensating for the RWA growth. That's kind of what will play out if you're looking at a 1,000 figure. And not just 1,000, irrespective of where that figure goes, the higher it goes, from a CAR accretion perspective, the better it is for First Bank. Thank you.
Thank you, Patrick. Tolu?
Thank you, sir. Okay. There are no answers at this point, but just as a reminder, if you have any questions, you can please use the raise hand icon. There are no further questions at this time. Even though for the questions at this time, I'll now hand over the call back to the Group Managing Director for the closing remarks. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Tolu. And thank you, participants on today's call. Just to assure you that what you've seen in the last 9 months, the trajectory would continue. We'll be focused on executing our strategies, which obviously has paid off. We will make sure that we keep you posted as we progress. On that note, we thank you for participating in this call and now bring the session to a close. Thank you.